welcome to Your DIY Health here on the People's Patriot Network. I'm your host, Sergeant Jim Ram Retired. You can call me Sarge. It is Wednesday, October 24th, 2018. Having another beautiful autumn day here in Central Ohio. Up to 49 degrees. It's sunny and just gorgeous. One of my favorite times of the year. Anyway, this program is meant to present nutritional information only and is in no way meant to replace the advice of a competent medical professional, assuming you can find one. I'm not a doctor, and that's a good thing. In my opinion, the doctors most people go to see when they have a health issue, MDs, are wrapped around the axle of their training. Unfortunately, their training's in drugs and surgery, and it doesn't equip them to treat the over 900 chronic health issues that are proven to be a result of a nutritional deficiency. I'm simply someone who's been studying under the tutelage of one of the top, if not the top nutritional authorities in the world, Dr. Joel Wallach. Now, I don't treat diseases. I don't even treat people. I simply advise people how to give their bodies the raw materials they need to support and maintain good health. And when the body has what it needs, it'll fix itself. The body wants to fix itself. The body knows how to fix itself. It has a God-given innate ability to do so. The only thing that's missing is the raw materials. And when you put those back into the mix, stand back and wait to be amazed, because your body's going to do some really cool stuff. You can visit my website at yourdiyhealth.com. That's yourdiyhealth.com. And there's all kinds of information on that site. I encourage you to check it out. just oodles and oodles of cool things, including our new product line, the CTFO CBD oil products. And those are some really, really nice products. Very reasonably priced and really do a great job. So I encourage you to check that out and check out the video on CBD. It's pretty slick and very informative. Got some history lessons in there that I didn't know and found it to be really, really pretty cool. So it's well worth spending about 5 minutes or so watching that video. Now, also, if you scroll to the bottom of the homepage there at yourdiyhealth.com, you'll see a Facebook button. If you click that, it'll take you right to the Facebook page we have set up for the show. And there's all kinds of information there as well. I encourage you to hit the like button so other people can find out about it, and maybe they too can learn to restore their health naturally using science-based, clinically verified medical nutrition. And hit the follow button. That way, anytime something new gets posted on there, you'll get a notice automatically. Well, it could be better than that. So also, we have a toll-free order line for the longevity products we talk about here on the show. And that number is 855-80-YOUNG, 855-809-6864. Again, 855-809-6864. And again, Jeff, Sally, and Robert are standing by, ready to take your calls. They're very knowledgeable in the product line and the home-based business opportunity. So I encourage you to give them a call if you have any questions at all on the longevity products. Now, if you're interested in the CTFO, CBD oils, or the Pulse Electromagnetic Therapy device, then you'll need to contact me, which you can do by clicking, you guessed it, the Contact Me button. And that will give you the option of either calling with the phone number that's posted there, or it will also bring up an email form right within your browser that you can use to send me a message. Just keep in mind, I don't check emails during the show, but I do check it afterwards, and anything that comes in will get a response usually within a few hours. So take advantage of those things, and we'll see what we can do to help you out and get you on the right track. Now, if you go to the radio shows tab and scroll to the bottom, you'll find a little chat room. And that's something we set up at the request of some of the listeners. It gives you the opportunity to chat and post questions if you are opposed or unable to call in or don't like to call in to live shows. You can use the chat room to put your question in there. I try and keep it on top of my screen. So if something comes up, I will hopefully notice it and be able to address it appropriately. Now, keep in mind that the topics discussed and opinions mentioned on this show are those of the host and or guests and don't necessarily represent the opinions of the People's Patriot Network, its owners or sponsors, or any of the alphabet agencies out there who are probably listening in. And lastly, nothing we say on the show should be construed as trying to diagnose, treat, or cure any kind of disease. You are a responsible adult, or you should be. And as such, it's up to you to do your own due diligence. Make sure that what you're doing is right for you. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anyone's word for it. And especially if you're dealing with a chronic health issue, don't take the word of an MD, because given half a chance, they will kill you. So, and lastly, the number to call into the show is 614-426-8787. 614-426-8787. And what can I say? Oh, my goodness. That's the number to call in. Anytime you hear me talking, you're free to call. And anyway, that's basically it. If you hear music or a replay of something from the internet, then wait until you hear me talking again. It's the best thing I can say. All righty. So yesterday we talked a little bit about the gratuitous ads for pharmaceutical products that we see on primetime TV, or pretty much any time on network TV, because, you know, like I said, we're one of two countries in the world, us and New Zealand, who allow direct-to-consumer advertising of pharmaceutical products. All the other countries have realized that it's not a good idea to put those kind of ads on the on TV. It lets the person go to the doctor can figure out what's going on and tell them the best thing to do, which is the way it ought to be, except for the fact that even that, you're going to the wrong dog for the hunt, and you're getting the wrong treatment for the illness. But at least it's the proper progression. You shouldn't be hearing all these little things, say, okay, doc, I want some of this, I want some of that. And if the doctor is like most, they're just in a big hurry, they could care less, and they just say, okay, we'll write you a script for that, without determining whether or not you're taking any other medications that would have a interaction with this new one or anything else. They just, you know, pull out the pad and write a prescription for it. Anything to keep you happy. And more than likely, if something happens, they're not going to take any responsibility for it anyway. And they know that down the road, that's probably going to cause some other illness like type 2 diabetes or something else, and they're just going to get more business out of you then. So they've got a customer for life. And that's one of the big problems with pharmaceutical-centrist medicine, is you just have to keep going back to the doctor at the very least just to get new prescriptions. In some cases, you have to have blood tests and all kinds of things done to make sure that your organs aren't shutting down, because that's one of the things that happens many times when you take statin drugs. They poison the liver. So every so often, you have to have testing done to make sure your liver's still functional. You know, that's kind of crazy. But that's what they do. They stop the production of cholesterol, which is made in your liver. It takes regular fats that come in from animals and stuff and converts it into the kind of cholesterol that your body uses. And because the idiot doctors and the drug companies are so bent on making money and not on the truth, they're poisoning you in the name of medical science, which is anything but. So it's a fool's errand. You know, if you listen to yesterday's show, you got a pretty good dose of it, because I rambled for the better part of the entire hour. And I'll do the same thing today if somebody doesn't call in and stop me. So, 614-426-8787. If you got any comments on what we talked about yesterday, or if you have any topics that you'd like to hear discussed, that's what that's for. Give us a call. And we will do our absolute best to help you out. Also, just in passing, while I was on vacation, I discovered something. I happen to be one of those people that tends to snore from time to time. And I found at the local, well, there it's Long's Drugs. You know, it's a division of CVS. And I found a product called, I think it's Snore Stop, if I remember right. Let me see if I can find it real quick here. And it's a combination of things. They have little, it's all homeopathic, which is cool. There's nothing harmful. And they have little pills that you take, one a half hour before bed and another one right before bed. And they also have a nasal spray and a throat spray. Yeah, and it's snorestop.com. snorestop.com, and they have a 10% off your first purchase thing where they have a little kit for like $19.99 that has a little bottle of the nasal spray, a packet of the pills, and a little bottle of the throat spray. And I think in my case, the throat spray is what really does the job, because the last few nights I ran out of the stuff, and my wife said, I'm starting to bugger a little bit. But if anyone out there is having problem with snoring, I encourage you to check this out. It really seems to do the job. And they have the one is called the Snore Stop Extinguisher Throat Spray. It's a 1 month supply, $19.99, and it's really pretty slick. Is the best I can tell you. It basically coats your throat or something and helps keep you from snoring. And like I said, there's different things. Different people have different reasons they snore. So these three different products apparently addressed each and one of those. But I was using all three and having pretty good results, and then I ran out of this throat spray. So I'm going to have to get some more of that stuff. And like I said, it's all homeopathic. No known side effects, no drug interactions, no animal testing. It's not habit forming. It's non-drowsy. It's gluten-free. No known rebound effect, and no contraindications. And it's FDA regulated, 100% satisfaction guaranteed, and free shipping. So it's a really pretty cool product. And like I said, if you have if you or a spouse snore, or let's see, both do, whatever, check it out, snorestop.com. And I don't get anything from it. I just found a product that seems to work for me. And that's why I'm passing the word on. It's pretty cool. So just check that out. It may help you. It may save your marriage. You never know. Snoring is a pretty nasty thing for a lot of people. And you never know who might have a problem and who might have issues and that kind of thing. So just check that out. All righty. Let's have a look and see what's in the news today. We didn't get anything yesterday. One person I'd like to touch on from time to time, and I haven't lately, is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Really big authority on vaccines. And she's got a ton of information. And just go to, I think it's drtenpenny.com or Vaxter, V-A-X-X-T-E-R.com. And in the most recent email I got from her, it says, Paul Offit recklessly says Trump's son has autism, compares him to De Niro. Oh, goodness gracious. And let's have a look at this, just for the fun of it. See if the thing will add or load here. Come on. For some reason, my internet's been running kind of slow lately. Dr. Paul Offit says Trump and says Trump De Niro ages caused autism in their sons. Oh, they're eight. Okay, Dr. Paul Offit says that because Trump and De Niro are older than normal for childbearing or child rearing, child fathering, whatever. And that's a bunch of bull. That just shows what an idiot Paul Offit is. And the fact that he's a shill for Big Pharma and Big Vax. Actor Robert De Niro and his wife, I seem to be getting an echo all of a sudden for some reason. Not sure what's going on there. Let me see here. I got this. Make sure this is turned off. Nope, it's off. Weird. Anyway, after Robert De Niro and his wife, Grace Hightower, have publicly spoken about their child autism. I think it's child autism. Anyway, the couple possibly hints at vaccine injury as the cause of their son Elliot's autism on an April 13th, 2016 Today Show episode. while controversy swallowed De Niro in the months following his possible anti-vaccine stances, he moved forward and became a centerpiece in the Hollywood resistance against all things President Trump. That's for sure. De Niro and Trump are as defiantly opposed to one another's existence as the Joker and Batman have been for decades. But this morning, American pediatrician and co-inventor of the rotavirus vaccine, Paul Offit, has unwittingly intertangled the two media icons. Offit is a staunch supporter of all things vaccines. Both Trump and De Niro have much more frigid relationships with vaccines. Trump has notably and controversially supported the idea of vaccines of vaccine injuries. Most of Trump's rhetoric came prior to the presidential election win. During a recent interview with Zubin Dharani, I think it is, Z-Dog MD, often asserted that both Trump's son Barron and Robert De Niro's son Elliot are autistic because of the paternal age factors, meaning Trump and De Niro had both of the children over the age of 60, something Offit claims influences the onset of autism. That is a crock. Anyway, the glowing problem with Offit's statement is that Trumps have never said Barron is autistic. Paternal age is clearly a risk factor. Donald Trump has a child on the spectrum, and Robert De Niro has a child on the spectrum. It's because they were roughly 60 years old when they had their children. So, Mr. Offit, you idiot, what about the millions of other children in the United States who are autistic and are born to parents both in their 20s and maybe 30s, but not any older than that? Are they the same way? When should we start fathering children now? 10, 12, 13, 14, 15? Do we have to keep doing it younger and younger because we're turning into a situation where if we hit a certain age point, you have a child who's autistic? You are an idiot. Period. That's probably the reason. What is the genetics of that? That is understandable. It's not going to be a single gene like cystic fibrosis. And cystic fibrosis is not caused by a gene. Neither is sickle cell disease. They're both nutrient deficiencies. As a matter of fact, the same nutrient. And that just shows the moronic idiocy of this bozo. He's one of these idiot doctors that have bought into the genetic cause factor. And Dr. Wallach has proven in his book, Epigenetics, the Death of the Genetic Theory of Disease Transmission. Absolutely phenomenal book, footnoted every step of the way, proving, without a doubt, there's no such thing as a genetic illness. Now, there are certain illnesses that can come about as a genetic mutation, but if you fix the genetic mutation, the problem goes away. Isn't that special? And why do genes mutate? Because they don't have the nutrition they need to stay healthy in most cases. So, once again, this guy's an absolute idiot. Anyway, let's see here. And it shows a little video, but I'm not going to play that. Back in November of 2016, YouTube personality James Hunter asserted similarity that Barron Trump is autistic, or similarly. Melania Trump threatened to sue Hunter, who later posted a video apology. Both the original and apology videos likely made a huge revenue via ads. On Friday, following mounting criticism, Offit conceded that he's crossed the line and issued an apology. And looks like Robert's calling in. Hey, Robert, how's it going today?
It's going well, and you?
I am better than I deserve.
You and Dave Ramsey. A couple of items. First off, did you see the mass shooting over there in Crimea, Russia, about a week ago?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen any of that stuff.
I'll have to shoot you. Yeah, you're still sorting through mail and email and stuff. You're behind after your 3-week sojourn over to Hawaii. Yeah, 18-year-old punk kid somehow got a hold of a gun in Russia. I don't know how the hell he did that. I thought they were pretty much not off limits, but at least hard to get. But somehow he got a shooting iron and went into a technical school, I think, in Crimea, which I think is part of Russia. At any rate, killed 18 or 19 people.
Wow.
But he wasn't done yet. Had some kind of explosive device, and it went off and injured a couple more dozen.
Wow.
My first thought was, I thought mass shootings only happened over here.
Well, you never know.
I guess not, huh?
George
Soros I guess not.
Has a long reach.
Somebody does.
Mm-hmm.
I'll dig it up and shoot you an article about it. You'll find it
interesting. That'll be interesting.
The other thing is, you're a news guy, so I'm sure you've heard of these DNA places like 23andMe.
Mm-hmm.
You can send us some of your DNA in and find out your great-grandfather came from Dublin and all that mess.
Right. I saw an interesting... Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, actually, I was just going to say I saw an interesting thing on TV the other night. I don't know if you've ever seen Bull with Michael Weatherly, the guy that used to be Tony DiNozzo on NCIS. But I have...
I've heard of it, never seen it.
I've watched that show since it came out. It's really good. But the particular case the other night was one where a guy, a pediatrician, was framed, or not framed, but was arrested on basically on DNA evidence alone. And the way they got it, the police got scrapings out from underneath the fingernails of the victim and ran it through their database and came up with nothing. So they then took samples of that DNA and posing as a customer of these different 23andMe and all these other DNA sampling places, they submitted that DNA and basically it came up with a match. And because this guy's wife had sent his DNA in as a gift to try and figure out his family lineage because he didn't know anything about his family.
Yeah.
The police department got notice from the the DNA place that they had a match. And that's how they then basically got the information and made the arrest, which potentially is a Fourth Amendment violation. and it turned out that the guy was an identical twin. His parents adopted him, and someone else adopted his brother. His brother turned out
to be a heroin addict. Also, wasn't his brother?
What's that?
Ah.
Yeah, his brother turned out to be a heroin addict, and the guy that was killed was a heroin pusher who was very well known. He was a customer. This guy was a customer of him. So the dude killed him, and then his DNA shows up. The other guy is in the DNA company system, and they arrest him. So you talk
but
about
it wasn't him, it was his brother.
Yeah, and it was his brother, who then, before they could figure out what was going on, dies of an overdose.
Oh, my gosh.
But that was...
Well, that's happened in real life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not that exact scenario, but they caught people not based on the person's DNA, but a family member was a bad person. Mm-hmm. Their DNA matched because they came out of the same womb. And that's how they caught that strangler out there in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
They didn't catch him, but the son's DNA was some damn where, and they caught the son and said, hey, do you have anything to do with these killings? No, hell no. Yeah. Well, what about your daddy? What about him? And they called their daddy like he was a killer.
The other thing that came out of this that was really interesting was out of a case in California where someone was arrested and charged based on DNA evidence alone. As it turns out, DNA, we lose thousands and thousands and thousands, if not millions, of skin cells every day. And we leave them on, like, doorknobs and elevator buttons and all those kind of things. And if you, in one instance, this guy, they found video of him on the subway where some woman on the stairway next to him slipped, and he caught her and she grabbed a hold of his arm. And there could be DNA transfer in something as simple and inconsequential as that kind of thing. And we can pick up other people's DNA all day long. The next person that holds that doorknob or touches that button could end up with that DNA on you. So there's all kinds of ways for that stuff to transfer that nobody realized before. So it's getting to the point where DNA evidence is going to start slipping, I think.
And, I think it already has.
Yeah.
So the person who gives their DNA willingly to find out their great-grandfather's in Dublin, their Fourth Amendment rights, they've already given them up. But their family members who didn't give DNA, theirs should still be intact, should they not?
I would think so. And the thing is, you know, if I was ever foolish enough to do that, which I never do, but if I ever did, I would put in.
Don't you want to know where your granddad came from?
I could care less. Bible tells me not to worry about foolish genealogies and endless genealogies and that kind of junk, and that's exactly where I look at it. But anyway, if I was silly enough to submit my DNA, it would go along with a written statement saying that under no circumstances is this, DNA, this is my property that I'm presenting to you for one reason only, and you are not to give any information about this to anyone without a court order or a search warrant and or my permission. And that way I would have legal action against them. And that's the thing, these companies, this is the same way with cell phone records. The government says it's not a Fourth Amendment violation because your cell phone records are in the hands of a third party organization who just turns them over. And that's bogus. If the government uses any kind of information that's yours that you expect to be private without your permission or without a court order or search warrant, that's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. And
that's good to know.
Constitutional scholars have held that as well. The Supreme Court doesn't, but they're not constitutional scholars. They're idiots for the most part.
But, Jim, what about your granddad in Dublin?
What about him? He's dead.
Well, there is that, right?
Yeah.
Not much you can do about that or Dublin, Ireland, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's interesting, this DNA deal. And what you just said, even more so, you can leave DNA anywhere. I didn't think about that. You can touch a doorknob or touch somebody or somebody's damn coat, and then they scrape somebody's coat and find your DNA. You had nothing to do with nothing, but they come get your ass.
Yeah, you can smooth on somebody. Put a loogie on their shirt that neither of you knew was there, and then they'd find it, and you'd be charged. So.
Yeah.
We don't live in a bubble.
Good luck. No. We live in a open dish.
Yeah. And, I used to have the same issue with fingerprints and that kind of stuff. Because in this day and age, the FBI has been caught numerous times planting fingerprint evidence. That's a piece of cake to do. If you've got somebody's fingerprint, boom. You can just make a new one and just stick it anywhere you want. And DNA is proving to be pretty much the same way, it seems. So,
I guess so. And they can just get it from any damn place and or family member that wanted to find out about their granddad from Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're a bad guy. You didn't give anybody DNA, but they catch you through them.
Yep.
What about your Fourth Amendment rights? So, yes, it's a thorny, prickly issue.
Yeah, and I think it's getting to the point where DNA evidence may be supplemental, but it will be something that you can't get a conviction on based on nothing but DNA evidence. I would think that would be the case. But you never know.
I would think it should be the case based on what you just said.
It should be. That doesn't mean it will be. You've got to remember, the judges that are ruling are on the government payroll. So they have every single court case that ever goes down the road, they have a conflict of interest, in my opinion. Unless you've got judges that are not on the government payroll, that are just there serving as volunteers, which is the way it really ought to be, and don't have any political aspirations or anything like that, they've got a conflict of interest, and especially in tax cases. I've had people tell me that, who were involved in tax cases where the judge in open court told them, I'm fining against you because if I fine for you, I'll get audited. I had a judge tell me
one
case
go.
That I had one time. It wasn't a tax case, but it was I'm trying to think of what it was. It was a credit card thing. And I presented evidence that showed that the credit card company hadn't lost anything and had not suffered any kind of a loss and therefore had no grounds to sue. And as a result, they should dismiss the case. And the judge says, you're right, but if I rule in your favor, the whole economy would collapse, so I'm ruling against you. I said,
wow.
I expected nothing less.
So did you have to pay the credit card company?
Time leg.
Did you have to pay the credit card company?
No. They got a judgment against me, but I never paid anything.
They didn't come after you again?
They tried, but they couldn't get anything because I don't have anything.
Ah, your vow.
I took a vow of poverty.
Your vow
problem. Not celibacy. Ooh, careful there.
I don't think that would protect you in the court of law. Celibacy. Yeah, you can be a celibate, but that won't help with taxes. Vow of poverty. Yeah.
And
that's a good
point. Yeah,
you're right.
There's nothing in my name, so there's nothing they can get. Yeah.
Good point.
Yep.
You literally have nothing, so to speak.
Yep.
Does the Bible really talk about genealogy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, let me see if I can find it here real quick.
Yeah, please do. I want to see that. I didn't know that.
Let me see if I can find it here. I got to get the software up. I got a program that does pretty good search capabilities. And come on. There we go. Close this window and search. I think it's in the New Testament. Got a little... Put it there, and there we are, genealogies. All right, what happened? This was my mail program for some reason. That's weird. Let's try this again. The thing just quit on me. G-E-N-E. There we go. Neither give heed to fable and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. And that's 1 Timothy 1:4. Then Titus 3:9, it says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So...
So we shouldn't care about that stuff anyway.
What's that?
We shouldn't care about that stuff anyway.
Yeah. I don't. You know. It makes no difference to me. You know, that's the thing. It's just like these people that argue that the earth is flat. So what? What can you do to change it? So, you know, that, you know, you have 27 different bloodlines in you. So, now what?
That's a good point. What difference would it make? I guess it's something for a coffee table discussion.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's,
I can think of a whole lot more important stuff to talk about rather than that.
Oh, I absolutely can, too, like Big Club Network and iCenter and at all. Yeah, you're right about that.
And what's being done to you by the criminals and government. Yeah.
That's a good point. If the Bible says it ain't good, that's good enough for me.
That's right. So anyway.
Okay, James, that's about all my items for today, I think. I will dig up that article about Crimea and shoot it to you so you can peruse it yourself. When I saw that, I about flipped. I don't know how that kid got that damn gun, but somehow he did.
Well, you know, when I was in Ukraine, I go to these little stores here and there, and they had AK-47s and Sten guns and... MP40s and all kinds of stuff hanging on the wall. And I didn't get any down and play with them and take a look, but they claimed they were real and that you could buy them.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, they're not as restricted as you might think. And in most former communist countries, you know, there are guns stashed everywhere. Well, there's guns stashed in every country that's ever been involved in a war. Because they know sooner or later, you know, something bad may happen, and they might need it. And this kid probably found one in a family basement or attic somewhere that somebody had stashed away for a rainy day, so to speak, and when it was raining bombs, really, and made use of it. So, you know, in those countries over there, it, laying your hands on a gun is not that difficult. You know.
Maybe not. You have a point there. I hadn't thought about that. I'll say this and I'll hang up. What do you think is going to happen when those 1,000 Central Americans, Hondurans, make it to the Texas border, Arizona border?
That's a good question. It's funny. So I just looked. I had an email that came up from a friend of mine that says, all of a sudden, thousands of Guatemalans decide to walk 1,500 miles, buy a backpack, arrange for food for 12,000 meals every day for 2 months, get money for travel expenses, have drinking water for 4,000 people, and times 60 days, have 720,000 meals for the trip, get directions and the best route to take, have extra clothes and sanitary items, have medical care available, prepare for rainy days, get 4,000 sleeping bags. If they can cover 25 miles every day, it will take them 60 days to cover the 1,500 miles. And they decided to do all this all of a sudden, all at once, and they would arrive in the USA just in time for our election. What an amazing event. Let that sink in. And just this morning, they upped the number to 14,000, mostly young men. So,
yeah,
that is a situation that's got Soros and company written all over it, and Obama. And when it comes to, you know, supposedly, I saw something on the news last night where Mexico claims they're going to try and disperse these people and get them to apply for asylum in Mexico, which I find rather interesting.
That would be.
You know, the thing is, it's an interesting situation because technically Trump doesn't have the constitutional authority to do what he's claiming to do, which is mobilize the troops and have them close the southern border. You know, the calling up the military is the job of the Congress, according to Article 1. And as such,
that's true.
You know, it's not until they actually declare war that he becomes commander-in-chief. And then he can command the military. But they have to...
But a governor could do it.
What's that?
A governor could do it, though, correct?
The governor has the ability to seal the state's border. As far as I'm concerned, he could call out his, National Guard or reserves, whatever you want to call it, in that state. And they should. But, it's an interesting situation, but, it'll be interesting to see how it works, because I guarantee you, whatever they do, the left is going to have a field day with it. You're racist. You're anti-immigrant and all this other junk. I said, as far as I'm concerned, every 20 feet, every 20 yards have a machine gun nest. When they start crossing over, put a line of fire right in front of them. I say, go ahead, make my day.
I agree. With a few Blackhawks hovering overhead.
Put some choppers in the air, some drones in the air. You know, make a point. But again, who has the authority to actually do that? Spineless Congress has the authority, but they won't utilize it. And then what? So, that's the problem. You always have to look to the Constitution to see where the authority lies. And in this case, it's firmly in the hands of Congress, not the president.
Where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And instead of making a big statement about this is what I'm going to do, he should say Congress needs to act and needs to act now and needs to act decisively. But that's the problem when you don't have congressional or constitutional scholars advising the president. And he obviously is not one either.
Nobody knows how to make a deal.
Yeah, he does. He's bigger than Monty Hall.
Well, when you get $400 million from your daddy, that's a good head start.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
According to the New York Times. So, there you go. Kind of hard to muck that up.
Yeah, but, he fell in it and then came out smelling like a rose. I mean, he's been bankrupt a couple of times and rebuilt the billionaire status each time. So, the guy knows what he's doing. And... I understand his position. You know, he wants to make sure that our country is secure and the borders are intact. And he's in a position where he's between a rock and a hard place because you got Congress with a bunch of spineless wimps who won't do what they need to do because they don't know that they're supposed to do it. And he's sitting there saying, well, it's just like Obama. Congress won't act, I will. different situation, but same mentality
sure.
in this case. And that's the problem you run into. If you got one idiot that I got a pen and a phone, thank goodness that Trump came into office with a great big eraser, but at the same time, he's, all into the same rut and going to do the same kind of thing that Obama was doing, and it's no more lawful when he does it than it was when Obama did it. So,
you're right about that.
There's not going to be any good solution to it. That's from what I can tell. Because regardless of what he does, he's going to be vilified in the press. You can count on it. And hopefully, from the sounds of things, they aren't going to get here before the election. It'll be after the fact, I think. So
still a long way to go.
Yep. And Mexico is not like Kansas. I mean, it's got a lot of mountains. It's some terrain. If they make 25 miles a day, I'll be surprised. Even if they're walking on roads. But to see the things I've seen where, the guys are standing there with handfuls of cash that they're just passing out to people as they walk by them, that's got Soros written all over it.
Got something written all over it.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you. You talk about
all right, Jimbo.
There's a preemptive strike that needs to be done. That's it.
I agree. Okay, I'll back off and let the next guest come aboard.
All righty, sir. Have a good one.
Be good.
Be careful out there.
You too.
All right.
Always. Bye.
Bye. Okay. So, let's see here. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. De Niro and Trump and this idiot Paul Offit who says that it's genetic. And it's because that, De Niro and Trump were in their 60s when their children were fathered, and that's what caused their, alleged autism. Bull. I'll bet you both of those children were vaccinated. And I bet both of those children were progressing just perfectly prior to the vaccinations. Just like all the other kids that have autism. You can call that anecdotal, you can call it whatever you want, but you got millions of cases where they all come out basically the same way. That, to me, is pretty solid evidence. And there are lots and lots of people that father children over 60, both in this country and other countries. Dr. Wallach has dug up information of a guy that was still fathering children into his 90s. And guess what? No autism. Imagine that. So anyway, Paul Offit, anytime you hear that name, just figure, idiot. Typical MD. So anyway, let's see if there was anything else in that email by Dr. Tenpenny. Mega Millions lottery scam. They aren't telling us. Got me curious. I think it was like $1.6 billion, they said last night, that if somebody got a single ticket winner, that's what they would stand to win, or $1.5 billion. That's pretty good change. Still don't buy any tickets, though. Let's see what they're saying here. half of all Americans will participate in a lottery. The more mesmerizing and inflated the winnings, the more lottery tickets sold. In the lottery business, that math has become rather fundamental. The problem is the rest of the lottery's math in concern with the lottery is a bit murkier. In short, the lottery is a tax for the poor. The larger the jackpot, the less opportunity there is to win, the more tickets sold. The lottery, like any tax or business ambitiously seeking to extract cash from the masses, is now accounting for fewer ticket sales. In the 1980s, 70% of Americans participated in lotteries nationwide. Fast forward 30 years, and that's down by 20%. Wow. The lottery utilizes larger jackpots in combination with increased difficulty to win as a way to make the math work. In basic terms, the lottery needs to sell fewer people on bigger jackpots in order to do so. The lottery must raise the average ticket price for fewer people. As it stands, the average household, mostly made up of lower-income families, spends a stunning $412 per year on lottery tickets. The poorest among us are paying the most for a game they have virtually no chance of winning. The more people that figure out the lottery is a scam, the fewer people that will buy tickets, and the more ticket prices must be increased. The lottery absolutely lowers your chances of winning the jackpot as a way to compensate for fewer sales and increased need for inflated jackpot numbers. Here are the lottery's scammy fundamentals at play. If you purchased a lottery ticket in 2016 for any year prior, let's see, by the way, I need to make sure I'm going to arrange things so I can see my clock. Okay, we've got about 13 minutes. Okay. If you purchased a lottery ticket in 2016 or any year prior, you chose five numbers between the numbers 1 and 75. Additionally, you chose a single number between 1 and 15. Now you will choose five numbers between 1 and 70, and subsequently a single number between 1 and 25. In essence, your odds to get a consolatory prize rise when your odds to win the massive jackpot decline. At $413 per year, the lottery is clearly a big fat loser for most struggling families. In short, the odds of winning are lower. The ticket price is twice what it used to be. The lottery's mega marketing teams realize the need for higher jackpots to sell more tickets. The lottery scam, a state-run operation. The lottery's initial intention was to provide increased revenue for the American educational system. In other words, folks got a chance to win a jackpot and at the same time donated some monies to furthering the education of our children. I will channel my inner Faulkner. The sun also rises right about now and say, isn't it pretty to think so? While lottery funding of education might be pretty to think so, it's become less than reality in Faulkner's wild tales. Here's how the part of the lottery scam works. The original lottery's intention was to help fund additional education. The new lottery scam is to fund the regular educational system. In other words, lottery earnings are simply allocated to the budget that's already on tap. California, Michigan, and Florida use lottery money for the ongoing budget. Colorado uses lottery money for environmental purposes. Kansas uses its state's juvenile detention budget. In other words, almost every state isn't using lottery money to expand, rather to simply fill in money to the ongoing process. The lottery is gambling for poor. The lottery now amounts to gambling for the poorest among us. Make no mistake about it, those who run the lottery realize what's happening. Lottery marketing is commonly located near liquor and liquor store marketing. Convenience stores sell lottery tickets alongside cigarettes. Why not sell lottery tickets at the registers in Whole Foods? Why not? Lottery scam and review. You pay more per ticket. The poorest pay the most for tickets. Increased jackpots result in less opportunity to win the big prize. The increased ticket prices do not fund any expansion of education. But yet, even with all this common sense public information, lottery dreams parade our Facebook news feeds and our headline mainstream news. The lottery extorts and the smuggling. The lottery extorts the struggling. Of course, the lottery isn't an activity that's solely free will, but those in the pit of despair aren't always in a mental position for allowing for logical thinking. Lottery's marketing team well understands this concept. Good point. That's one of the reasons I haven't bought a lottery ticket in over 20-some years. I've bought one or two. I actually am in the black. I have won more than I have spent. And I quit while I was ahead. Oh, goodness. So we've got about 9 minutes to go. Anybody else that wants to call in with anything at all, talk about the lottery, talk about vaccines, talk about nutrition, tell me I'm crazy, whatever, 614-426-8787. 614-426-8787, and we will get you right on the air. Until that happens, let's see what else we got. Polio-like illness continues to spread across the U.S. and is now far more widespread than previously reported. Let's see what we got there. The effects of a new debilitating virus that has polio-like symptoms. Gotta move my clock again. Polio-like symptoms spreading throughout the United States has been underestimated and underreported thanks to voluntary reporting requirements and testing protocols that have been deemed substandard. The New York Daily News reported that children in 22 states have been affected by the condition as health authorities continue to assess its spread and effects. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which is actually probably disease creation and protection, not known as a bastion of truth, says that so far this year there have been 62 confirmed cases of acute flaccid myelitis. In other words, for some reason people's muscles are just going limp. The first known outbreak of the virus occurred in 2014, but has since reemerged as authorities identified and confirmed 50 cases of the condition between August and October in even-numbered years, the paper reported online. The condition very often begins as what appears to be a respiratory infection, but progresses from there very quickly. Over the course of just a few hours, patients have increased difficulty breathing as one or more limbs become paralyzed and they develop a flaccid weakness, according to the medical definitions of AFM. The exact cause of the condition is not known, but scientists and health professionals say it can be triggered by viruses, genetic disorders, and environmental toxins. In other words, they have no stinking idea. I think the challenge is that we haven't found one specific virus that is causing these complications, Dr. Deborah Siegel, a pediatric neurology expert at Weill Cornell Medical College and New York Presbyterian Hospital, told the Daily News. I don't think we really understand why there have been peaks at these two-year intervals. Doctors and scientists also don't know what the long-term effects of AFM are, according to the CDC info page on the condition. The polio virus, as well as non-polio enteroviruses, are believed to be the most likely causes of the condition. And that's, you know, another related article, and I'll put this on the Facebook page when we get done. No one knows when the outbreak ends. In all, the CDC says it has received 155 reports of AFM nationwide. In 2017, the agency found 33 confirmed cases. In 2016, there were 149 confirmed cases, with 22 in 2015. Most patients are children. Enterovirus 68 is believed to be one of the primary causes of AFM, the agency notes. The increase in AFM cases in 2014 coincided with a national outbreak of severe respiratory illness among people caused by enterovirus D68, or EV. D68 is the entire title or name for it. Among the people confirmed with AFM, CDC did not consistently detect EV D68 in every patient. During 2015, CDC did not receive information about large EV D68 outbreaks in the United States, and laboratories reported only limited ED68 detections to the CDC's National Enterovirus Surveillance System. During 2016, the CDC was informed of a few localized clusters in the United States, and who knows, they're just wondering. Dr. Nancy Messener, director of the agency's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, told reporters last week CDC has been actively investigating AFM testing specimens and monitoring diseases since 2014, when we first saw an increase in cases. She added that most AFM cases occur in the late summer and fall, but the CDC has not found any geographic clustering or other unifying factor to explain the peaks. which seemed to occur every other year. Messenger added that AFM can be hard to diagnose because symptoms mimic many of the same symptoms of other neurological diseases. This is a mystery so far, and we haven't solved it yet, so we have to be thinking broadly, she added. Some patients recover very quickly, but others do not, health officials said, which is making the origins, physiology, and disease process even more difficult to solve or predict. And why do you think some recover quickly and others don't? I would say it's probably a level of their nutrition and their how strong their immune system is. Imagine that. That's just common sense. One thing's for sure, AFM is spreading far faster than is being reported, and it's likely to going to spread farther before it recedes again, if it does at all. And you can read more about it, the CDC's dishonesty and faulty science in CDC.news. So anyway, I'll put that in the chat room, and I'll also post it on the Facebook page in case you want to check it out further and click the links and watch the videos that are accompanying it. Alrighty then. It's that time of year when I cut my grass late in the year. Goodness. Cures up a lot of dust. And unfortunately, I tend to inhale a lot of it and starts the coughing. I've recently found out something that sounds like it might be a good thing to check into for that, and I'm going to try and get some here as soon as I can. Product called Chesties by Boron, supposedly. Just heard about it the other day on a conference call. Clears up all kinds of issues in the chest and coughing and that kind of stuff. So I'm going to get some and give it a try. And hopefully I won't have to cut too much more grass, because that's what really messes me up. Anyway, we've got about 2 minutes to go. Still can get in a phone call if you want, 614-426-8787. 614-426-8787. Let's see here. The Democratic Party plan to destroy America. Full documentary. Ooh. Huh. Democratic Socialist plan to destroy America. It's a full documentary here. And it's posted on Real Video, done by Brightian.com. Democratic stuff, yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to watch that, but I'll post the link for that one also on the Facebook page. And by the time I get done, it'll be just about the end of the show. This looks like it just might be an interesting thing to view. You know, it's all in the spare time that I have. But who knows? Might be worth it. Let's see here. And we're going to move on. Real.video announces new name, Brighteon.com. Brighteon.com. Deep State rolls out staged bomb attack on CNN headquarters, just as Mike Adams and Alex Jones publicly predicted on multiple video broadcasts. And that's something they've been talking about, you know, this time of year, when things are not looking good for the socialists, they say, okay, well, we'll just go ahead and stage another false flag. And it will have the effect of freaking people out and doing who knows what. But that apparently is what they must have done. And fake bomb attack on CNN. Why couldn't have been real? No, just kidding. Anyway, that's it for our show today. Music is coming along here. Yep, I can hear it now. And so we've got more great programming coming up here on People's Patriot Network. Take care of your body, because it's the only place you have to live. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, and God bless.